Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. All right. This is day two of our Holy Ghost revival, and it is covering the last seven words. All right. And today we will have Minister Arsenius Coleman. Okay. And her word for the day is, today shall you be with me in paradise. Amen. Amen. Okay. And before we get started, we're going to have an opening prayer with our mother, Janice Hudson. Mother Janice Hudson.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this day. I just want to thank you for being first and foremost in my life, Lord. Lord, I just want to just give you all the praise. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, please allow this broadcast tonight to catch some lost souls or help some lost souls to enter into your gates, Lord Jesus, into your will. And Lord Jesus, let the praise and just thank you, Jesus. Allow Pastor Arsenius' prayers and her show to be blessed and send a lot. Hallelujah, Jesus, forgive me, Lord. And just allow her words and her authority to come through in your mighty name and to catch some lost souls or help some lost souls enter into you. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus, for just being so merciful and so great. Lord Jesus, have your way, Lord Jesus, right now, Father God. Have your way, Lord. Satan just try to take everything from us, Lord, but I just can't allow it right now, Jesus. Lord, I give you all the praise. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And please, Father God, please, Lord Jesus, let this broadcast tonight be grateful, Lord Jesus. Your will and your way is in your mighty name, Jesus Christ, I pray. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. All right. Now, I'm going to introduce our speaker for tonight. And our speaker tonight has her own ministry, which is One Touch Transformations. And it's founded in 2014, and it has been thriving. And without further ado, I'm going to introduce to you Minister Arsenius Coleman. Minister Arsenius.
All right. Thank you, Brother Rob. And praise the Lord, everybody. Truly, we are grateful for another day. We're grateful for this opportunity, the season that we're in. Just grateful for all that God is doing, the things that he's already done and the things that he shall do. Truly, I give honor to God, who is the head of my life. And I just pray that what God has given me and to share with you, that it will be a blessing and that it will draw those who may not know God and may even draw you even closer to him, because we're living in a time where, you know, time is winding up. We don't know when our last day is going to be. We don't know when Christ will return, but we know that he is soon to return and we must be ready. And so I'm just excited to share tonight's line from the crucifixion of today you will be with you will be with me in paradise. And so again, I pray that you will, you know, just open up your hearts, open your upper mind, and receive what God's word has to say to all of us, because certainly it's not just for me, it's not just for you, but it's for all of us. And I pray that it draws us even closer to him. All right, so we're going to jump right into the word of God, and we're going to first go to these passages of scriptures where we do read or have read about the crucifixion before. We know that there are different accounts, and I'm going to look at a couple of them, but we're going to start in the book of Luke, chapter 23, and we're going to start with verse 32. So again, that is Luke chapter 23, and we're going to start with verse 32. All righty. And I am reading from the New King James Version. And it reads, there were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, There they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots, and the people stood looking on. But even rulers with them sneered, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God. The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, and saying, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. An inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. Then one of the criminals who were hanging blasphemed him, saying, If you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And that 43rd verse, and Jesus said to him, Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. So a couple of things that I want to kind of separate what we will talk about and not talk about concerning the word paradise. So when we think about paradise or hear the word paradise, it's usually a place where there's extreme happiness and delight. And in most religions, some people will consider it heaven or the ultimate dwelling place or, you know, for eternal life. But we're not going to talk about paradise in particular or heaven in particular, because this line, after reflecting and reading and doing a little bit of studying, is not about heaven. It's not about paradise. And it's not about the thief even joining Jesus that day. Because even though he said, today you will be with me in paradise, we know that it was already prophesied in Matthew 12:40, where it says, For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So we knew that Jesus was going to the tomb that night. So it's not about him even joining Jesus even that day. It's not about the thief going to heaven, because the scripture even tells us in John 3:13, says no one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. The 15th verse says that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And we're a very familiar scripture that most of us are familiar with. John 3:16 tells us, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So again, it's not about paradise, not about heaven, not about this thief even joining Jesus that day. So I don't want to focus on that at all. But what I do want to focus is what this story is really about. This part of Jesus' crucifixion, the moment where the thief asks Jesus to remember him, and the moment that Jesus tells him, today you will be in paradise with me, what it is about is repentance, grace, and salvation. So this is going to focus on repentance, grace, and salvation. Repentance. Let's start there. So we have two men with Jesus, and they receive, which is why they were being crucified. They were being punished. If we go to Matthew 27:39, so this is another account of the crucifixion. So let's go to Matthew 27:39. All right, so we see, roll down. Okay. All right, so verse 39, it talks about those who were witnessing the crucifixion, those who were participating, who were crucifying Christ. They were mocking him. And so the 39th verse says, And those who passed who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, you who destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. So they're mocking him and shouting these things because they knew who Jesus was and what he was capable of doing, how powerful he was. And to see him up on this cross and not do a single thing, it caused them to mock him and just wonder, like, why are you still on the cross if you're so powerful? If you are this God, if you are the King of the Jews, why is it that you're not able to come down from the cross? Now, we know that they did not understand the plan of God and the will of God. Jesus knew why he was up there. Jesus knew why he had to stay up there, because he had to fulfill the plan for his Father. But those who were watching and mocking him, they did not understand it. And so the 41st verse, it says, likewise, the chief priests also mocking him with the scribes and the elders said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. That 44th verse, here's what the criminals began to do. It says, even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. So here we have the two criminals, the two thieves next to him, one on the left and one on the right, and they begin to join in with the mockery, not knowing what they truly were doing, because as last night we spoke about, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. They know not what they're doing. And again, these thieves, they knew not what they were doing, even by participating in the mockery. But all of a sudden, a transformation took place with one of the thieves. I mean, it was almost as if it was suddenly. So let's go back to Luke chapter 23, and let's go to that 39th verse. Luke 23 and 39. It says, then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. So all of a sudden he had a transformation. He was like, wait a minute. Why are we participating with this mockery? He's like, do you not fear who this man is? Do you not fear God? Do you not fear the power of God? Here we are in the same shoes as this man here, the same condemnation. And we deserve it because we are thieves. We're being punished for what we have done. But he said, this man here, he hasn't done anything wrong. But yet, all three of us are on the cross. He said, we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And so then he goes on and says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And the turning point of this thief, when he heard Jesus, or after he heard Jesus, said, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And so it was a powerful statement. Even to today, it is a powerful statement, just hearing Jesus asking the Father to forgive the people, because even if they don't understand the will, even if they don't understand what they're doing, he said, Father, please forgive them. And so that it was so powerful that it began to transform the mind of the criminal, of that thief. And he's like, wait a minute. Jesus is asking the Father to forgive these people who are punishing him for doing nothing wrong. So that means maybe I can ask for some forgiveness. Maybe he'll forgive me. Even though I'm being crucified, I'm getting ready to be sentenced to death, I'm about to die, maybe I can ask for forgiveness. And he did. He did. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, it may not be the same, you know, confessions or the salvation prayers that we hear or say today, but we know that Jesus knows every heart. He knows us inside and out. He knows the heart of every man. And so hearing those words, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus received his repentance, and his destiny was changed with a simple plea to remember me. His destiny was changed. This man, this criminal, this thief who was destined for eternal damnation, all of a sudden transformed when he hearing that Jesus was willing to ask for forgiveness for these people who was crucifying him. And so he quickly said, okay, Jesus, remember me. And we know it had to take place, a transformation had to take place, because earlier, or not too long ago, before he said it, he was just mocking them with the rest of them. But he had a change of heart. The powerful statement of, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, allowed him or compelled him to say, Jesus, remember me. Jesus, remember me. Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. So just think of what repentance can do for all of us. That's why I said this story, this crucifixion, is more than about the death of Christ. We know that. But it just has so much more to it. It consists of so much more. The crucifixion, it consists of repentance, of his grace and salvation. And so we have to apply even that today, asking for forgiveness, repenting to God so that our destiny can be changed. Because like I said, we never know when it's our last day. We don't know when Christ will return, but we must be ready. We must be ready. So not only does it focus on repentance, we can see that it also focuses on how salvation is a gift from God. So before that thief died, he was destined, you know, for eternal damnation. But after he repented, he received salvation. And we receive salvation more so through faith and not our works. Yes, it's okay that we have good deeds. God wants us to have good deeds. He wants us to do good deeds. He wants us to do well. But salvation, we have to obtain that through our faith, our belief. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. So Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It reads, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So that lets us know that we only receive salvation through faith, and it is indeed a gift of God. Man cannot give us salvation. Family can't give us salvation. Yes, we can pray, and we can hope, and we can want for all of our family members to receive salvation, but guess what? It's a personal decision. We all have to make that decision to receive salvation, and it's done through faith, and it is a gift from God. Only God can honor us with that salvation. And so this thief, again, who was destined for eternal damnation, after repenting, he received salvation. And the reason why we can understand that is not about works, because this thief was known as a thief. We know someone is a just like with any record, anyone who has a record, they're known by their record. We're known by our record, whether it's good or bad. We're known by our works, whether it's good or bad. We know a tree by the fruit that it bears. So we know people by their works. But guess what? that's not the one thing that determines whether someone has salvation. That is not the determining factor. Remember, it's a gift from God. So who are we to even determine or say who's received salvation and who has not? Only God knows that. He's the only one that gives that gift. And so we know it's not based off works, because this thief, who has been known for stealing, had no good works. At least, you know, when it was time for him to be crucified. That's why he was being crucified, based off of his not-so-good deeds or bad deeds from stealing. But isn't it something, in a moment, just from repentance, he was able to receive salvation by not doing any good works? I mean, because how could he? He was already on the cross. So there was nothing more that he could do. He couldn't do anything else. He couldn't perform any good works. He couldn't perform any good deeds because, what, he was already on the cross. So that lets us know that it's not about how well we're performing, how well we're doing things. It's a gift from God and not from our works. Because that ninth verse says, not of works lest any man should boast. And he put that in there because if it was all about works, if it was all about, oh, this is what I did, people would try keeping a record to determine whether they would receive salvation, when it's not even about that. If it was all about works, everyone would have a checkoff list. But it's not about that. That's not what determines salvation. Salvation comes from repentance. And it comes from, salvation comes from God. So that's one thing that we all have to make sure that we do. We have a repentance heart. We are constantly repenting so that we can indeed receive salvation in the end. Also, if we go to Titus chapter 3, still talking about how salvation is a gift, not anything that we can obtain from any other person, not from man, not from family, not from friends, but this is something that we obtain from God. It is a gift. So Titus chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 5 through 7. So Titus chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. And it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Christ, through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So again, it's not about how righteous you are. It's not about the works that you have performed, but it's that it's according to his mercy that he saved us. Through his mercy, God has mercy on us. He chooses to. So it's not about our works. It's not about how well or how, you know, your attendance may be with church. It's not about what all you're doing. But no. Yes, we want you to do well. God wants us to do well. I'm not saying forget about doing well, but no. Still continue to do well, but recognize that it's not about keeping a track record of how well you were doing. But, hey, we got to count this as a gift and recognize that it is a gift and it's God's grace and his mercy that he chooses to save us. And it's all because of our Savior choosing, fulfilling the plan to go to the cross so that we can have eternal life. He says, that seventh verse, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So again, it is not about our works. It's not about keeping a track record of all the things that we have done. It's about repentance. And it's about recognizing that this gift of salvation comes from God, his grace, and his mercy, so that we may have eternal life. So salvation is definitely a gift. And I'm so glad that even in this story, it lets us know that Jesus forgives our sins. He is a forgiving God. So this thief, again, was sentenced to death, but was still worthy of God's forgiveness, still worthy of his forgiveness. So we have no say-so on who God forgives. That is not our decision. We are not the judge. We do not get to pick and choose who God forgives. So let's go to Romans 6 and 23. Like, we have no say-so on who God forgives. He forgives whoever he pleases, whoever he chooses. I mean, look, he forgave the people who were crucifying him. Romans 6 and 23 lets us know that for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So even when we sin, when we do wrong, when we're disobedient, when we don't do what God tells us to do or say what he wants us to say or go where he wants us to go, guess what? If we ask for forgiveness, and guess what? God can forgive. And again, that gift of salvation so that we might have hope of eternal life is all from God, and that's his decision. Think about this thief. This thief was destined for eternal damnation, but because he asked Jesus to remember him, Jesus forgave him. He forgave him. And so now his destiny has been changed so that he may have eternal life. Same book of Romans 6, but if we go to Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it lets us know that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. We've all fallen. And sometimes we still fall. And not even sometimes we do fall. Because we're not perfect. We know the Bible says that a just man falls 7 times, but guess what? He gets back up because of God's grace and his mercy. Every time that we repent, every time we come back to him, every time we return to him, it's a gift that he honors our forgiveness or that he recognizes our forgiveness. So for all, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that 24th verse says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So even though we have all sinned, even though we have fallen and we continue to fall and fall short, guess what? We have redemption. God is our redeemer. He said, being justified freely by his grace. By his grace. Again, not from man, not from friends, not from family, but it's the grace of God that upholds us. It's the grace of God that picks us back up. It's the grace of God that saves us every time we fall short. It's the grace of God, and it is certainly a gift. And maybe sometimes we need to appreciate that gift more often than we do and not really take it for granted. I mean, do we really think about the gift of grace that God gives us? Do we really think about it? You know, just from day to day, not really, you know, realizing how special that gift is. Grace. Grace, it is special. It's beautiful. Grace. And you know, as much as the word is mentioned in the word of God, and as much as, you know, God shows grace, sometimes we have the hardest time doing the same thing, especially when it comes to others. It's like, you know, God, he has grace on us, but sometimes it's so difficult for us to have grace on others. Show a little grace. God has showed us much grace, you know? When we just think back over our entire life, God has showed us a lot of grace. when things could have gone the other way, man, God's grace is what kept us. God's grace is the reason why we are here. And so this demonstration of the grace that God had on this thief, it still works today. It still works today. God still has grace and still shares that gift with us. And sometimes we just really need to thank him for the grace. Thank God for the grace of God. So many things could have gone wrong in our life. We could have been dead. We could have been cut off. But thank God for his grace. Thank God for the gift of grace. And so even though we all have sinned, God still shows grace. We mess up, God shows grace. We do wrong, God still shows grace. And it's a gift. It's a gift. And it's wonderful and it's beautiful when we really look at the words of that thief saying, "Remember me." How it was such a turning point for his fate, for his destiny. Remember me. So think about those same words, but maybe in a different way. Only just, you know, repent to God and ask for his forgiveness. And ask God to really, like, really change us, really forgive us. Because, again, this part of the crucifixion, it wasn't all about the thief going to heaven or going to paradise or really going to be with Jesus. That's not the focus of it. But it was about repentance, grace, and salvation. How we all can still today and receive the gift of grace. But we must repent. We must repent. And that's one thing that will never change. We always have to keep that in mind that we must confess our sins. Now, the thief pretty much didn't have to confess because he already knew why he was on the cross alongside with Jesus. And if we back it up to when he was talking with the other thief, he was like, "Hey, we deserve to be up here or to be here because of what we've done." Hey, that was confession right there. Because he knew that they had done wrong. But he said, "This man here, he hasn't done any wrong. But we have done wrong. So this is why we are here. This is why we are being punished." And so in that moment, that thief realized, like, look, this man is powerful. That's why I said, "Do you not fear?" He asked the thief, "Do you not fear this God? You have no fear?" So I'm not sure. It doesn't say what happened or how that transformation took place. How, you know, we know it had to be the work of God, the power of God. From those words when he asked his father to forgive them. And through that statement, that had a change of heart and a change of mind, had a repentance heart. He confessed that they were there because they had done wrong. And he repented. And he asked Jesus to remember me. And with those two words, remember me, Jesus, he accepted his repentance and said, "You will be with me in paradise today." And so the story, this part of the crucifixion, because I know we've got more nights to go through with the crucifixion and in this season, but this part of the story focuses on, again, those three things: repentance, the gift of salvation, and grace. So as we're going through this season, continue to read. You know, you can read every account and keep those things in mind during this part of the story, focusing on repentance. You know, how all of this is still relevant today, even though we know that Jesus died and he rose again. But this is such an important part of the story because we know that repentance is still important today, still relevant today. And we know that we need God's grace. And we know that salvation is still a gift, and it's only given by God. As much as we like to, you know, we offer the salvation, the prayer of salvation, it still can only come from God. We do not have the power to, you know, forgive man for their sins as God does. So the same way that he forgave that thief, he still does the same thing today. Still does the same thing today. And so, again, salvation is a gift. The grace of God is a gift. But we must repent. We must repent. David had a repentant heart. He had a repentant heart. He was always after the heart of God, even as, you know, king over Israel, one of God's chosen, his leaders. He still fell. He still fell short of the glory of God. And so if David continuously repented, so do we. Paul says that I have to crucify myself daily. He has to repent daily. And so while we have a chance, while the breath is still in our body, while we're waiting for Christ to return, we have to make sure that we are ready. We have to make sure we are ready, because we don't know the hour or the day when he shall return. We don't know when it's our last day on this earth. But we have to make sure that we are ready and that we're ready to receive, you know, eternal life. And we cannot receive eternal life without repentance. We can't receive it without repentance. It starts with that first. And so we just bless God and praise God even for the story of the crucifixion, because there's so much to take away from it, more than just, you know, Jesus died and he was crucified. And, you know, even though the whole story is relevant, but just think about the bits and pieces that we can pull from it that is so relevant to today. And this is part of it. This is one of those things that we can use today to make sure that we, you know, doing a self-evaluation. Because even in this season, it's all about you, yourself, self-inventory. This is not the time to worry about what the next person is doing, checking off the list to see if they're doing this or that. No, this is for yourself, making sure that you are doing what you're supposed to be doing so that you will be ready. And so I thank God for this time and for this season while we're, you know, preparing for Christ's return, where we can make sure that we have ourselves ready, that we are sure, you know, sure, and have that hope for eternal life. Because we know God has the final say-so. We don't have the authority to choose where anyone is going as far as their eternal life, whether it's eternal damnation or eternal life. We don't make that decision. So you have to worry about self. Worry about self. So at this time, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Brother Rob, this next part of the service, and we'll return back to you afterwards.
All right, all right. Thank God. Thank God. Amen, amen. And thank you so much, Minister Coleman, for tonight's message. We really appreciate it, and we really hope that once that we're finished, that you're restored, you know, some tenfold, 100-fold, 1,000-fold for the efforts and the mentions and the heart that was poured forth tonight. We thank you so much. And if you want to hear more about Minister Coleman, you can go to her Facebook page, which is One Touch Transformation. So Minister Arthenius Coleman is the founder and CEO of One Touch Transformations, and it was established in 2014. Its home establishment is in Florence, North Carolina, as well as Hartsville, South Carolina, PD, South Carolina, and Darlington, South Carolina. So if you want to contact Minister Coleman or learn more about it, you can go on her Facebook page at One Touch Transformations. Once again, we thank you so much for tonight's message, Minister Coleman. Okay, and so tomorrow night, same time, 8:30, we're going to have our very own Pastor Tylene Daly, founder and CEO of PKN. Please check it out. Her word for tomorrow night is, woman, behold thy son, behold thy mother. And that will be the word for tomorrow. Please rejoin us tomorrow evening at the 8:30 p.m. hour. Okay, so we're in our closing moments, and so we're going to hand it back over to Minister Colvin. And Minister Colvin, excellent, excellent program tonight. And without further ado, we just thank you once again for tonight's program. And please close us out in our closing prayer.
All right. Thank you, Brother Rob, for those announcements. And so just to, you know, close out, before I close out, just want to encourage each and every one of you that there is hope for all of us. There is hope, as I was saying, as long as there is breath in our body. And while we're preparing for Christ's return, we must know that there is hope. And one final scripture that I will want to close out is Hebrews 9:27. So that's Hebrews 9:27. And it reads, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. So even though, you know, Christ died for our sins and, you know, there was just that one sacrifice, it was a sacrifice for all of us. And so I don't want anyone to feel like, okay, well, maybe I can repent later, or maybe I can repent when I get older or turn my life around. You know, you have some people who think that way. So even though God has grace, and although that there is hope, you never want to trust in those two decisions. Wait until you get old, or wait until you live your life and wait until your deathbed like the thief did, because we just don't know. We don't know what the future holds. So while there is breath, while you know that there is hope for you, repent. There is hope for us. God will show grace and forgive the sins of those who believe in him. All right, so it's a glorious truth. It's a gift, remember. It's a glorious truth. And so we're going to close out with a word of prayer. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this moment just to read your word and to study. God, we thank you for this season that we're in. God, we thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for us and to forgive us for all of our sins. God, we thank you for the grace, your mercy. And God, we don't take it lightly, because God, we know without it, we wouldn't be here. God, we thank you for the blood that was shed on Calvary. God, we recognize that the blood, it still works even today. God, we thank you for the hope that we have in you. God, help us to keep a repentant heart. God, help us to always turn to you. God, we ask for your forgiveness even in this moment. Forgive us for anything that we may have said or done, any evil thought, knowingly or unknowingly. God, we ask you to forgive us. God, we want to reign with you in eternal life. But God, help us to stay focused on you even during this time. In a world full of so much darkness, full of evil, God, help us to keep our eyes on you. God, help us to stay on the straight and narrow path. God, help us to be the ones that you come at when you return. But God, help us to show your love. Help us to draw others even to you. God, you said that if we lift up your name, that you will draw men unto you. So God, help us to remain focused. God, help us to focus on ourselves and not others, because we know that this journey of life, we have to take self-inventory and make sure that we stay on the righteous path. Increase our faith. Help us in every area of our life. Strengthen us where we may be weak. Build us where we may have been torn down. And God, we pray for anyone who is connected to us, our family members and our friends who may not know you. God, we pray that you put a light inside of us that may draw them to you, that may draw them to repentance, that may draw them to salvation. Because, God, we know that you're the only one who can do that. You're the only one who can give that gift. Help us to always stay meek and humble so that you may use us. God, we thank you. We love you. We honor you and give you all the praise. And God, I pray for every listener tonight. God, I pray that you be with us even as we lay down and sleep. Watch over us. Watch over our possessions. Oh, God, keep us covered under your blood. And we'll forever give your name all the praise. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, we hope and pray that you have a wonderful night. We pray and hope that you have a wonderful night and tune in tomorrow evening at 8:30. Good night.
Jesus bless. Jesus bless.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.